I want to go back to the reading from Genesis chapter 16, a reading which I have alluded to several times over the last several weeks, and a reading that I was so sad to note was not included in the lectionary, a reading about Abraham and Sarah attempting to get God's will done their own way. It's a very interesting reading, and I invite you to listen to this now. Genesis chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. He went in to Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my slave girl to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Your slave girl is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she ran away from her. This is a fascinating story. It's a story about the power of human sin to say, we know more than God about how God should get his business done. It's not uncommon. We really ought to be careful about judging Abram and Sarah too harshly here. We can indeed understand why they did what they did the way they did. After all, it seems as though God's timing is terribly off. Certainly off with Sarai, because she can't have kids anymore. She's barren. I don't blame her. Here, she's supposed to have kids. She can't have kids. God's promised kids. There are no kids. What are you supposed to do? And so Sarai says, "Aha, I know. God's slow. He's dumb. I'll get God's job done for him. I have a young, pretty Egyptian handmaid. Abram, let her be the surrogate mother. Let her be the surrogate mother for these children that God said we're going to have. Even if you have this child of promise by her, it's still a half miracle because you're old. So take her, go in that tent, and have a kid by her, and we'll get God's job done for him." I noticed she didn't have to whip him into doing it either. Go do it, and 10 years, he goes and does it. Takes Hagar into the tent, has a kid, and when Hagar finds out she's pregnant, woo! "Ha, ha, ha, I'm pregnant. You can't get pregnant. I got pregnant by your husband. Ha, ha, ha." I don't blame Sarai for being mad. I don't blame her for being upset about this. Of course, she blames it on Abram. "You got her pregnant. You didn't get me pregnant. Now I'm upset." If I'd been Abram, I would have said, "Well, your idea." In fact, that's exactly what he said. "It was your idea. You handle it. It's your idea. You take care of it." And Hagar ran away. Interesting story. Sad story. Illustrative story of the power of human presumption and arrogance to think that we can get God's job done in a way that would be better than God's way. It's an example of our saying, we can do it, God can't. And as a result, all the fighting, all the death, all the war, all the violence, all the hatred, all the pain of the Middle East today came about. Hagar and Abram were the father and mother of Ishmael. And Ishmael is the ancestor of the Arabs. They're brothers, friends. Whew. Or at least half-brothers. Now keep that story in your mind. I want to turn to Galatians chapter 4. Now you need to understand what was going on in the churches in Galatia. Paul had taken these Gentiles. They had never heard of the law of Moses. They had never been Jews. They had never followed the Torah, the law, the dietary regulations, the feast days, all of the rules that you were supposed to keep. They had never kept them. They were Gentiles, and they had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from the preaching of Paul, and they had come to faith in Jesus Christ by the grace of God through the preaching of Paul, and they had become Christians. They were not Jews, they had never been Jews, and now they are Christians. Unfortunately, after Paul left, along came some other Christians, this time Jewish Christians, who were saying to be a Christian, you had to be a Jew. Christianity is a sect, a denomination of Judaism. And hence, to be a Christian, one had to first be a Jew, and you had to keep the dietary regulation, and you had to get circumcised. Whoops. That got some of the Gentiles' attention, right then and there. You had to keep the diet, you had to get circumcised, you had to keep yourself clean, spiritually and liturgically clean. You had to obey all the feast days. You had to abide by all the rules and regulations of the Torah, of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, the covenant. You had to keep it. You had to be a Jew in order to be a Christian. And Paul was writing back to his churches in Galatia, and he was saying, who has bewitched you to make you think that you have to be a bearer of the law and a Jew in order to be a Christian? You didn't start in your walk following Jesus by obeying the law, did you? No. You started in your walk by faith in Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, you began your walk following Jesus. And if you began that way, you continue that way and you finish that way. You don't begin in grace and then continue by law. You begin in grace and you continue in grace, walking by faith. That's the essence of the letter here to the Galatians, and it's what's preceded where we get to today in chapter 4. Chapter 4, at verse 21. Tell me, Paul writing, tell me, you who desire to be subject to the law, will you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and the other by a free woman. The slave woman is Hagar and the free woman is Sarai. Remember that from the other story we just read a moment ago. One, the child of the slave, was born according to the flesh. The other, the child of the free woman, was born through the promise. In other words, the child from the slave woman, the child from Hagar, was born by your fleshly human ability. The child of the slave was born by human capabilities. It didn't take a miracle for Abram, regardless of how old he was, and Hagar to produce a child. Happens all the time. Was fleshly activity. The other child, the child of promise, is a miracle. Not a fleshly activity, but of promise. Now this is an allegory. Now an allegory is a story that is used, the elements of the story, the people, the places, the things, are symbols for something else. Okay? The elements in the story are symbolic of something else, and he's going to tell you what those symbols are. Now, this is an allegory. These women are two covenants. One woman, in fact, is Hagar, from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. Hagar, he says, is the first woman. She is the first covenant. She symbolizes Mount Sinai in Arabia. and corresponds or equals the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the other woman corresponds to Jerusalem above. She is free, and she is our mother. Now, sometimes we read through this and we just right on through and don't pay attention to what's going on. What did he say? He said that Hagar and Abram, in a tent, going about their fleshly stuff, producing Ishmael, is the equivalent of obeying the law to be saved. Yep. Mount Sinai, holy Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments and the law of God was given, Mount Sinai in Arabia, is equal, Paul says, to Abraham and Hagar in a tent producing Ishmael, getting God's will done a human fleshly way. Wow. Paul is saying no less than this. If you try to save yourself by your works, by obeying the law, even the law of Moses, by trying to be good, if you are trying to earn brownie points with God and get into heaven by obeying the law of Moses, it's just the same thing as Abram and Hagar trying to get God's will done in a tent, their own way. That's pretty heavy, friends. That's telling us that attempting to save yourself by your good works only gets you into trouble. It's what happened with Abram and Hagar and Sarah trying to produce a child by their own abilities. Got them into trouble and got all of their kids into trouble for 4,000 years. It gets us into trouble too, friends. When we try to save ourselves, when we try to earn entrance into heaven, when we depend upon anything other than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His grace poured out from the cross for our salvation, we are in trouble. It's the same as producing Ishmael in a tent. It's the same as this story here from Genesis. How are we supposed to do it? But the other woman corresponds, equals, the Jerusalem which is above. She is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, you childless one, you who bear no children. Burst into song and shout, you who endure no birth pangs. For the children of the desolate woman are far more numerous than the children of the one who is married. Now you, my friends, are children of the promise, like Isaac." You are children of the promise. And that's the word for us today. We are members of the body of Christ. We are Christians. We are truly a people of grace. We are called to have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and to recognize that it is only by God's grace in our lives that we can truly be saved. Salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as a response and a result of God's grace and faith working in and through us, good works do come. But if you put the good works first, you got the cart before the horse. You're not going to go anywhere. You'll just be Abram and Hagar in a tent. The works flow from God's grace, from our response of faith, walking with Jesus. They don't come first. They come out of us as a result of walking in faith by the grace of God. We are children of promise, called to live by faith, called to live by the grace of God, walking in faith, looking to Jesus Christ, following Him and depending upon the promises of God. That is what you and I are called to do and to be. The children of promise. Not the children of the slave woman, the woman of bondage, the woman in the symbol here who, with Abram, trying to do it their own way, produced a child, Ishmael, who then has persecuted the children of promise ever since. No, we're called to recognize that we are the children of promise, not descendants of Abraham. Some of us may be, but not theologically descendants of Abraham by birth, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And as children of promise, we're called to go out those doors and proclaim the good news that salvation comes by grace through faith. And all we have to do to be saved is to say yes to the offer of God, yes to the offer of grace, yes to the offer of life eternal, yes to salvation by faith, yes to the wonderful cleansing that comes to us from the cross of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is say yes and step out in faith and live a life walking with Jesus, the life He calls us to live. The life that He gives us to live. Will you, my brothers and sisters, depend upon the grace of God with me? Lean upon the promises of God with me? Walk in faith with me, following Jesus out those doors and to proclaim the good news to all of Siegelville, to all of the surrounding communities, that Jesus Christ is Lord, He's our Savior, and He calls us to live by grace through faith. Will you accept this challenge, my friends, here today? A challenge to be a beacon and a light to this community. Will you accept this, my friends? If you will, then say amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.